Stand still. Now, I never thought I'd quote you a poem that starts with stand still, because salvation comes through the feet, right? But there is a place for standing still, because every now and then you've got to change direction. So this poem says, stand still. The trees ahead of you and the bushes around you are not lost. Wherever you are is called here, and you must treat it as a powerful stranger. You must ask permission to know it and be known. Listen, the forest speaks and it answers you. It says, I have made this place around you. You can leave it and return again, saying, here. No two trees are the same to a raven. No two branches are the same to a wren. If what a tree does and what a bush does is lost on you, you are surely lost. Stand still. The forest knows where you are. You must let it find you. The trees in front of you and the bushes around you are not lost. Wherever you are is called here. You must treat it as a powerful stranger. You must ask permission to know it and be known. The poet is trying to say, if this moment for you is business as usual, you may not be alive. In the reading today, the apostle had healed a fellow, or a fellow had been healed, and it caused a commotion, and the apostle said this little sermon, which we've got in scripture. And the sermon says, this man was healed by the name of Jesus. Now, just let me tell you in passing. You know, when I speak to you, I try and monitor the boring factor. And if it reaches a certain level, I feel anxious. So I'm starting to feel anxious. What the scripture does not mean is that Jesus is a magic word, like a rabbit's foot, and that you can say, do something in Jesus' name, and suddenly magic is applied. In scripture, the name of a person is the character of the person. And so what they're saying is, this person was healed by the presence and the character of Jesus himself. So let's not have magic. I've been in company where people say, as long as you say the name Jesus loud enough. As Jesus was never Jesus' name, that's an odd practice. His name was Joshua. So they said to the crowd, the apostle said to the crowd, well, you have killed the author of life. And the crowd, you can almost hear him say, we did what? When did we do that? And he said, well, remember, there was a gathering and Pilate said, I'm going to release this guy. You can have this guy, son of the Father, or you can have this guy, son of the Father. You know, the name Barabbas means son of the Father. Which Barabbas would you like? You can have this guy whose way leads to peace, who heals the sick, and who says all the time that the reign of God is so close. Or you can have this Barabbas, who is a murderer and a thief. And everybody said, give us the murderer. Give us what's going to kill us. It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's insane. And yet I see people do it all the time.
The danger of mob.
Yeah. And how many times do we choose what we know is going to kill us? I was with one of my little brothers once who had this massive store of alcohol, and it was killing him. And it was all I could do not to go to this expensive rack and just tip them all out. But he was hanging on to what was killing him and everyone around him. Why do we do that? It's not fun. Nobody was having fun. But I choose what's going to kill me. Which Barabbas would you like? Give us the one that'll kill us. Now, I'm quite sure this crowd was quite surprised when the apostle said, "You've killed the author of life," because it would have felt like we're just getting on with our lives, really. And I think that's what it feels like. I think it feels like business as usual. And so I need to ask you, really, I can ask you, but I can't answer for you, whether you've killed the author of life. Let me ask you another very difficult question. Are you happy? I'm not about to answer the question for you. But really, are you? Do you spend your days giving us all six reasons why you're not happy at the moment? What's your trajectory? Would you like the things that have driven you and been front of mind for the past 5 years to be the things that drive you in the next five? Listen. Stand still. The trees in front of you and the bushes around you are not lost. Wherever you are is called here. And you must treat it as a powerful stranger. And you must ask permission to know it and be known. In other words, another phrase, when I was a kid, we used to sing, "This is the day that the Lord has made." It was a kind of inane kind of song. We used to sing it and sing it. And I think I sang it 500 times, never once thought about what it meant. But to translate that phrase, "This is the day that the Lord has made," means nothing other than this is the moment in which Almighty God has acted. This is the moment. Almighty God is present with us in this moment. And your future trajectory doesn't have to be the one that drove you for this last 5 years. Doesn't have to be. You have to you should look around at your at what you call here and understand that this is not a projection of you. But Almighty God is really here, really present. One of the reasons why we gather on Sunday is, I think, to step out of business as usual. How important is it? It worries me sometimes, even as a minister, you know, that you can be so busy turning wheels, so busy just doing what's got to be done, that you could get to the end of your life and be on your deathbed and think, "Oh, I wonder if I should be able to fly an aeroplane." I don't think I'm going to fly an aeroplane. I think that chance might have passed me by. I wonder if today would be the day I should be fully alive. Fancy asking that question on your deathbed. Catch yourself. See if you can catch yourself in business as usual. See if you're not regularly saying, I would love to be fully alive one day if it wasn't for these next six things. Perhaps next month I can be fully alive after I've dealt with this next three bills and blah, blah, blah. Almighty God is present in the present, and the scripture says there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, not anything. In other words, God holds nothing against you. Nobody actually believes that. So I recommend you get your scissors and find that verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, cut it out, because nobody actually believes it. So you might as well just get that one, throw it away. Or right over the top, there is a little bit of condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because everybody's living with a little bit. God holds nothing against you. What are you beating yourself up for? God holds nothing against you. He wants you to fully enter into what it is to be you. He doesn't need John to be Graham. He just wants John to be fully John. And he wants you to be fully you. You are on holy ground. Wendy promised me this loaf would be soft enough for me to actually tear. We have had loaves that a chainsaw would not get through, and I'm left here going, oh. When Jesus broke bread with his disciples, he said, you're going to need food for the journey. The way will not be easy. The way will be tough. But this is a holy moment. And I promise you there will be grace for you for each day. So take this bread and eat it. He said, this is my body. You need never be alone. With him, in him, through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father. Take some food for this journey. Realize that you are in a holy moment. Come and take a little piece of bread and dip it into the cup. And realize this place that you call here is a holy place.